أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Continue with the Surah Al-Fajr. After the qasams that we had, the swears, which we preferred the view of those exegetes who said all these qasams are related to the event of Hajj, then we have the main story about which these qasams are stated. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادَ فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. Did you not see what your Lord did to Ad, to Aram, with huge buildings, the same of which, the like of which had not been built in cities, and to Thamud, who used to carve out houses in the valley, and Pharaoh, the owner of Pegs, those who made corruption on the earth, and increased in that corruption, those who transgress in the earth and increase in corruption, and Allah send the lashes of punishment unto them. Now the qasams that we had, the swears, wal fajr, wal layal and ashr, wal shaf'i wal watr, how are they related to this to these stories? Because usually there should be a relationship between the qasam which is made and the story which is said. One possibility, if we take these qasams to be related to the occasion of Hajj, is that the Hajj in itself is a symbolic ritual showing the status of man in this world. It is not even the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Some would say this is the story of Adam alayhi salam when he was sent down to the earth, and when he was looking for some help, and when Shaitan came to deceive him again, and when he stoned Shaitan there. So it is the story of the man, and the story, this symbolic story, is related to the history of human being, and this history is in a very evil way is reflected in the story of these people. You have to take lessons from these stories. This is the way we can relate the qasam to the stories. Now, the story mentions three very, very big nations: Ad, Thamud and Pharaoh. Now, Ad and Thamud, as we discussed last week, are from Arabul Ba'idah, the destroyed Arabs. As we said, we have three. They usually categorize Arabs into three different types: the Al-Arabul Ariba, the pure Arabs, who were the people who were living around Mecca at the time when Ibrahim migrated there; Al-Arabul Musta'riba, the Arabs who were not originally Arabs because of their father Ismail, who was not an Arab, but they were Arabized. These were Arabul Musta'riba. And there was another group of Arabs which were in traditions, in hearts of the people. And these were Arabul Ba'idah, the destroyed Arabs. That always the Arabs talked about them. They were exceptionally Arabs of huge civilization. We know that Arabs never had huge civilizations after this destruction. Previously, the Arabs had huge civilizations, and these are the Ad and Thamud. And of course, we have the story of the Queen Sheba, which was, of course, one of those great Arabs, a remnant of these huge civilizations. The civilization of these Arabs was so huge that we see that even in Egypt, because Egyptians were not Arabs, they were Copts. Nowadays, of course, you see all these countries that we call Arab countries are speaking Arabic. They have been Arabized. They have become Arabized. Iraq, for example, they were not Arabs. Jordan, they were not Arabs. Egypt, they were not Arabs. North Africa, none of them were Arabs. Now we call them Arab countries because all of them speak Arabic. Because after the expansion of the Islamic Empire, so to speak, the language was conveyed to all these different civilizations. The only huge civilization, or two exceptionally huge civilizations of Arabs, were these Ad and Thamud. And as I said, they were so well known that we see that even in Egypt, at the time of Pharaoh, they were lessons for the people. If you look into Surah Mu'min, when Mu'min Ali Pharaoh talks to his people, Mu'min Ali Pharaoh, the faithful among Ali Pharaoh, was the cousin of Pharaoh. And he was a very, very influential man in the palace of Pharaoh. And he was the one who always protected Musa, who did not let Pharaoh to do anything wrong to him. Anytime there was a council, they wanted to do something against Musa, he prevented, because he was very powerful. But eventually, of course, he was overcome by the power of Pharaoh and he was killed. Now, when he was talking to Pharaoh and his people, to his mala, he said, "Ya qawm, inni ahafu alaykum mithla yawm al-ahzab, mithla yawm qawm Adin wa Thamud, qawm Nuh wa Adin wa Thamud, wa man Allahu yuridu zulman bil-ibad." I fear a destruction of your civilization like what God did to Noah, to Ad, and to Thamud. Some people say that these Ad and Thamud, because they were Arab civilizations, they were unknown, and they were only known in their own area. And this is why the Torah has not mentioned them at all. You know, there are certain civilizations and prophets mentioned in the Quran which are not mentioned in the Bible. And these are the Arab prophets. And these prophets, one is Shu'aib, which they wrongly say that it is not mentioned in the Torah, but he is mentioned in the Torah with a different name. And Hud and Salih are not mentioned. They say because they were Arabs, they were unknown to the Jews, so they were not mentioned. But this is wrong. I don't know why the mention of these civilizations is not made there, especially in the historical aspects of Torah. But they were quite well-known civilizations. As I said, the Quran says, Mu'min Ali Fir'aun spoke about them to Fir'aun, saying that take a lesson from these civilizations. Apparently they were greater and more civilized and developed than the civilization of Egypt. It was greater, they were greater than Fir'aun himself. And although at the time of Musa, we know that these pyramids were there for a long time. The pyramids were built about 1500 years before Musa alayhi salam. Still they believed that the civilizations of Ad and Thamud were bigger than their civilization. Now, of course, we don't have any trace of them, but you can imagine such civilizations, one of them in the south and the other in the north, how much of literature, tradition, history they would have poured into Arab minds whenever they were mentioned. They created a sense of awe and respect in the hearts because of the advancement that they had. Now, just to tell you one story, when Walid ibn Mughayra went to the Prophet to tell him that when the Mushrikun went to him, asked him, go to Muhammad, peace be on him, and see what he says. And then come back, tell us what unified front, what unified position we should have against him. And he said, okay, because Walid ibn Mughira was the most prominent poet and man of literature at his time. He said, okay, I will go and listen to him, and then I will come back and tell you what position we should make against him. Some of us say that he's mad, some say he's a poet, some say that he's something else. So let's take a unified position. So he went to the Prophet, he was sitting beside Kaaba, and he said, my son, read for me from your poetry. And the Prophet said, I do not know any poetry. He said, okay, what you say from your Quran, read for me. And he started to recite Surah Fussilat from the beginning. And the first page that we have now, the first page of this surah, he recited that قُلْ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَكْفُرُونَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَتَجْعَلُونَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا. Until he came to these verses. It's now in the second page of Surah Fussilat. فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا. Now, if they turn away, turn back. فَقُلْ أَنْذَرْتُكُمْ صَائِقَةً مِثْلَ صَائِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودٍ. Tell them, I warn you a death, a destruction like the destruction of Ad and Thamud. It is reported in the history that at this moment, Walid ibn Mughira started to shiver and to shake. And he did not continue listening. He went home. He became ill. So the amount of respect and awe that these two civilizations, and that is why they are most mentioned in the Quran. And they have been actually chosen for this oft-repeated mention to create that sense of attention among Arabs who were regarding this as their own history. So, what is mentioned here is that you cannot compare the city of Ad with, for example, the Thebes in Egypt, or the Rome in the north, or any other city. التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. It was something that like of which was not made, was not built anywhere in the world. في البلاد means anywhere in the world, nothing like that. Now, that was of course completely destroyed by the whatever calamity came to it. However, the remnants of it were there. And the Arabs, when they were traveling, Ad were the southern civilization of Arab. They were mainly in Yemen, in an area which was quite huge area, but part of it, for example, was Ahqaf. One wadhkur akha Adin iz andhara qawmahu bil Ahqaf. And of course they were a civilization which lasted for several hundred years. They were not just one group of people living in one city. They had different cities, different areas. And that's why, for example, in some surahs of the Quran, we see that they had gardens in their cities, very cultivated areas. And in one part of the Quran, we say that they were living in sand dunes and areas which were quite dry, like Ahqaf. And apparently the Ad went around this civilization. Sometimes he went to Ahqaf and warned the people. Sometimes he went to other cities. But the Quran says that there were many, many messengers who went to them. And they had many kings. As we have in Surah Hud, وَتَلْكَ عَادٌ جَحَدُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَعَصَوْا رُسُلَهُ. These were the Ad who denied the signs of their Lord. Jahadu, jahd means they believed that it was right, but they denied it because of their arrogance. وَعَصَوْا رُسُلَهُ. And they disobeyed all his messengers. So there were many messengers sent to him, but they were destroyed at the time of Hud. That's why Hud is mentioned as the last messenger who went to them. So there were many messengers. وَتَلْكَ عَادٌ جَحَدُوا بَآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَعَصَوْا رُسُلَهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا أَمْرَ كُلَّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ. And they followed, they obeyed every arrogant denier. That means they had many kings as well. And any king coming, denying or rejecting the message of a prophet, they followed him. The same was about Thamud, who were a northern civilization, somewhere around Syria and Jordan. That's the remnant of their civilization as well, could be seen on those days. And still now, of course, of Ad, we don't have much traces anymore, but of Thamud, we have lots of traces in areas close to Palestine and Syria and Jordan. They had a vast territory, of course. What is important here is that the Arabs in Mecca, they had business travels to south and to the north. We know this. And almost every Arab had, in one way or another, traveled to these areas, to Yemen in the south and to Syria in the north. And it's mentioned in the Quran, that's لإلاف قريش إلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف, these summer and winter business travels that they had. And they had witnessed the remnants of these civilizations, and that's why they had heard the story, they had the history, they had the traditions very well. So when these verses, because Surah Al-Fajr is one of the early surahs revealed in Mecca, when this comes in this sort of aggressive way, addressing the very point of respect that they had for these civilizations, it should have been really, really effective. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بَعَاد. Did you not see what your Lord did to Ad? إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَاد. Of course, not Ad itself, but to their city, Iram. And Iram was very famous of the cities which were destroyed in the south, which was ذَاتِ الْعِمَاد. Imad could be plural of Amad, and could be plural of Imada. And Imada is building, Amad is pillar. Both of them may be, in a sense, possible to take as the meaning, because apparently the city was all built on pillars, and it was something quite new to the world architecture, the way they built it. Or it could be because it had very tall buildings, which several story buildings, palaces. And we have, of course, in Surah Shu'ara, it says that they used to have as signs of their civilization, as a hallmark of their civilization, they used to build huge towers. Huge towers in which no one actually lived at that. أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيْعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ. On every hill, you build one of these towers. This is what Hud told them. Why you do this? On every hill, you build tall towers just for nothing, just to show your power, to show the strength of your civilization. تَعْبَثُونَ وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ. In Surah Shu'ara, of course, this is mentioned very beautifully, the way the civilization was explained, is very beautiful. Verses number 123 onwards, كذبت عاد المرسلين. عاد rejected the messengers. إذ قال لهم أخوهم هود ألا تتقون. When their brother Hud told them, do you not take heed?
إني لكم رسول أمين. I am an honest messenger to you. فاتقوا الله وأطيعون. So fear God and obey me. وما أسألكم عليه من أجر. إن أجري إلا على رب العالمين. I do not ask you any reward. My reward is on my Lord, Rabbul Alameen. And then he says, أتبنون بكل ريء آية تعبثون. You build on every hilltop just a sign, one of these hallmarks of their civilization. It was formidable, the way they built it. None of them, of course, exist anymore, but at that time, this was a hallmark of a very, very formidable army. أتبنون بكل ريء آية تعبثون, just for nothing. وتتخذون مصانع, and you build palaces, huge palaces. لعلكم تخلدون. Now, there is no mention of pillars here. And therefore, maybe the other meaning of imad, which is the plural of imada, huge buildings, would be more appropriate. That وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ. And when you attack heedlessly, jabbarin, you kill everyone, you finish every other civilization. And this is what they did. They did not leave anyone around themselves, unless they took it. They took the territory, they took them captive, and one of the things that Hud is talking to them, that why you do this to other people? Why you do this to other nations? وَإِذَا بَتَشْتُمْ بَتَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Fear God وَأَتِئُونَ وَاتَّقُوا الَّذِي أَمَدَّكُمْ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Fear the one who favored you with what you know. All these power, ni'mah, all these things that you have, you know that it is given to you by God. أَمَدَّكُمْ بِأَنْعَامٍ وَبَنِينَ Soldiers, armies, banin, of course, was is the allegory to refer to soldiers at that time. بَأَنْعَامٍ Flocks of livestock. وبنين وجنات and gardens وعيون and springs, rivers. So it shows that at that time, that area was quite a cultivable land, and أحقاف, which one part of it was not the representative of the whole territory. إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم عظيم. So what did they say to Hud? قالوا سواء علينا أَوَعَذْتَ أَمْ لَمْ تَكُمْ مِنَ الْوَعَذِينَ It's equal to us. You preach, you do not preach. These are meaningless things that you are telling to us. That means that it is as you do not speak. There is no meaning in your words. This is what usually the new theories about religion has come out with, that religious statements are meaningless statements. There is no meaning in them. You cannot judge them. The same thing. I mean, human beings repeat what has been happened in the past. So they said, it's equal to us. There is no use for all these preachings. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا خُلُقُ الْأَوَّلِينَ This is just the tradition of the people of the past. These are as like أساطير الأولين. These are myths, stories that you are talking about. And any civilization which advances in science, in technology, in architecture, in philosophy, in poetry, gradually they believe that these things are nonsense, talking about these things. We have to take heed, of course, from what people in 6,000, 7,000 or 8,000 years, we don't know, long, long before Pharaoh they lived. They were long time before Pharaoh they were destroyed. So we don't know how long before us they were living, but they were saying the same thing as any advanced civilization today would say, that we are the ones who have found out how we have to live, what is life, what is science, what is technology. And they were saying the same, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا خُلُقُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ Who is going to punish us? Who has the power to do it? فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَحْلَكْنَاهُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ There is a sign in their destruction, but No, the majority of the people would not believe in these things. And then, of course, it talks about the story of Thamud. Now, we will come to that later on. However, what we find out from those verses, that the territory was quite vast. It included in itself very cultivable areas, areas with rivers, with gardens, with forests, and uncultivable areas like Ahqaf, as in Surah Ahqaf is mentioned. And many, many messengers went to them. The civilization had grown in a way that in architecture, no one ever had made something like that, Ramazat al-Imad, التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد, something the like of which was not made ever, was not built anywhere in the world. So this is one. Did you not see what your Lord did to them? وثمود. And did you not see what your Lord did to Thamud? الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. Now, their architecture was quite different. They were living on mountains, in valleys. And what they did, they had this science to cut and carve out, to hollow inside these mountains and build huge palaces inside mountains. Any hill, any mount, anywhere they had, inside it would have been huge palaces. They had this technology to bring out the stone, to carve out the palace they wanted inside. And I think this was a sort of architecture which continued to exist. A couple of weeks ago I received an email from a Roman city like that, that they had carved huge palaces inside mountains, and it was in very, very narrow valleys. The palaces were opposite each other. Temples of idols were all carved out of the mountain. And this is what the Thamud did. They cut stones. And this cutting the stone is what, of course, Allah has mentioned here as the cutting edge of their science and technology. That they used to cut stones, build palaces inside these. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. This is one statement only describing their civilization. Now, in Surah Shu'ara, again, when it talks about Thamud, it says, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And Thamud, they denied and rejected Mursaleen. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ صَالِحٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. When their brother Saleh told them, do you not take heed of God? إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينَ. I am an honest messenger to you. The good thing about Surah Shu'ara is that it shows a continuity in the history of man. It starts with the oldest civilizations from the time of Nuh coming to the younger civilizations, and it follows the same pattern. Of course, not all the prophets spoke the same language, not all of them said the same thing, but here there's a pattern that every prophet exactly said the same thing to their nation. And you would see that there are a few verses at the beginning of each story exactly repeated as the previous ones. For example, there we had كَذَّبَتْ عَدُنُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ هُودٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ. Exactly the same thing. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ صَالِحٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونِ. Exactly the same thing. وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. I'm not asking any remuneration for that. إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The same thing. Then it goes into particularities. And then at the end, the same ayah is repeated. فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ. We destroy them. وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Most of them were not believers. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. Your Lord is mighty, merciful. And this إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ is repeated throughout, showing that
This pattern in history is not changeable. We should not be deceived by the short duration of our lives to think that this pattern is going to change. This pattern is not going to change. Civilizations may last for 300 years, 400 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, but they would not exceed that time if they do not take heed of the message of God, which has come, of course, previously through messengers, but now the message is actually available everywhere. We usually, since our lives are very short, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, we do not see this pattern in our lifetime. But if we just come out of our life, duration of our life period, and look from outside, we would see that this pattern has continued. And this is what Surah Shu'ara wants to tell us. The continuity of the pattern of history. Now, about Thamud, it says, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ صَالِحٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ When their brother Salih told them, do you not take it? And Salih was a very, very intelligent, very exceptional genius in his society. And everyone respected him greatly. And this is apparent from Surah Hud. When he came out giving the message, قالوا يا صالح قد كنت فينا مرجوا قبل هذا. You were one of our hopes of civilization before this. Before coming with this message, we hope that you will become one of our kings. We hope that we will put you at the head of all civilization. قد كنت فينا مرجوا قبل هذا. Now you have come out talking nonsense to us. أتنهانا أن نترك ما كان يعبد آباؤنا. You are now telling us that we have to leave what our fathers were worshipping. This is nonsense. And of course, they denied him, although he was a genius man. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ صَالِحٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ Then it comes to particularities, as I said, أَتُتْرَكُونَ فِي مَا هَا هُنَا آمِنِينَ Do you think you will be left secure here in what God has given you, fi jannatin wa uyun, in gardens and rivers. Again, a very, very good area for living. Wa zuru'in, and farms. Wa nakhlin, and palms. Tal'uha hadim, which gives very, very sound fruit. Tal'uha hadim, tal, are these clusters of date. Hadim means they are very nicely and neatly clusters of dates coming from these palms. Apparently, even genetically, they had modified it. They had ways to do it to make the best dates in the world. وَتَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا Again, it talks about it, the fact that الَّذِينَ جَابُوا السَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ They were cutting stones, rocks, in the valley. تَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا You cut from the mountains your houses. فَارْهِين You are actually completely heedless because the joys of the life, the rejoices of your civilization have made you heedless. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ وَلَا تُطِيعُوا أَمْرَ الْمُسْرِفِينَ Do not follow you should follow me, not follow the order of the musrifin. الَّذِينَ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْعَارْضِ These are the kings, of course. The kings of Thamud. That those who make corruption on the earth, وَلَا يُسْلِحُونَ What they told him, قالوا إنما أنت من المسحرين. Now about Saleh, they couldn't say that you do not understand. Because as I said, he was the genius man of Thamud. They couldn't say that. What they said, قالوا إنما أنت من المسحرين. We think that someone has put a spell on you. That you have become charmed now. You have gone under a spell. That's why you talk these things. Otherwise, someone like you shouldn't speak like that. مَا أَنْتَ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا
You are just a human like us. فَأْتِ بِآيَةٍ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Bring a sign. If you are truthful, bring a sign. Now, the way they speak to Saleh, it all shows that this was an extraordinary man. They said, if you are not spelled, if you are not charmed, you are not under a sort of magic, then bring a sign. And the big sign Allah gave them, the camel, he carved out from the mountain. This is very, very interesting, because they used to carve out houses out of the mountain. And he carved out a camel out of the mountain. And this camel, of course, as their palaces, was a very huge camel. He used the same technology that they had, that they used to carve out palaces out of the mountain. He carved out a camel and brought it out as a living camel. And قَالَ, they said, فَأْتِ بِآيَةٍ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. If you are truthful, bring a sign. قَالَ, هَذِهِ نَاقَةٌ. This is the camel. Now I bring out this ayah for you. لَهَا شَرْبٌ وَلَكُمْ شَرْبُ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Now, apparently they accepted at the beginning. They became passive. Now, what could they say? They said, okay, we believe in you. However, he said, now, this huge camel drinks a lot. So, now that Allah has given you this sign, you say you believe, then of course you will be tried with this camel. This camel would take the whole water one day, and you take water the other day. And this became the weak point among the people by which those who wanted to make corruption, they deceived them. What? This camel is going to take the whole water? And of course, if the camel was giving the same amount of milk as he took water. But gradually they spread this infectious idea that we have to kill this camel. And people accepted that they had to kill this camel. And as soon as they killed it, فَأَصْبَحُوا نَادِمِينَ, they regretted what they did, and the destruction came. Now, that's not very much related to, that's a very different story, and it's a very beautiful story, the way they treated the camel, what happened, how they did it, who was so courageous to do that. However, it's not related to our story here. What is important here is that this civilization of Thamud was one of those greatest civilizations. And then Pharaoh. Now, I think Pharaoh, compared to Ad and Thamud, was no man. It was the civilization in Egypt that we see now, and was very, of course, important at that time, compared to Ad and Thamud, was not very important. And that's why it's mentioned at the very end, وَفَرْعَوْنَ ذَ الْأَوْتَادِ. And the way it's mentioned, أَوْتَاد, of course, pegs. Now, or nails. There are different interpretations for why Pharaoh is called the man of nails or pegs. Some say because when he wanted to punish someone, he used to crucify them, either on the earth or on a palm tree or something like that, as we have in the story of the magicians, and he used to transfix them with nails or with pegs. That's why he was called Zal-Awtad. Or Awtad may mean hosts and armies. The Pharaoh, who was the man with huge armies. And one other explanation that I think would go very well with the whole context is that Awtad is referring to the pyramids, because they are like pegs. Usually the pegs at that time was like that, like pyramids. And in fact, it is somehow belittling the technology. Although the technology was very big at that time, and still the technology is very complicated and confusing how they built these pyramids, but it talks about them as just pegs on the earth. And if you look from above, if you look from the bird eye, you would see them as pegs, isn't it? So, وَفَرْعَوْنَ ذَ الْأَوْتَادِ, because he was the man who was boasting about those pyramids, that this is our civilization, this is what we have achieved. And he says, وَفَرْعَوْنَ ذَ الْأَوْتَادِ, Pharaoh, owner of those pegs. and or nails in a sense, and compare this the way Allah expresses the architecture and civilization of Egypt to the way He expresses the architecture and civilization of art. إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ and فرعون ذو الأوتاد, that man with a few pegs on the earth, الَّذِينَ تَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ, those who transgressed in the earth, on the earth, in cities, or in their own cities, فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ, and they did abundant facade in that. Now, facade has different meanings, and we have to somehow look for its different meanings in the Quran. So, inshallah, we leave this for our next session. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi tahirin.
Thank you, Sheikh, for that very good speech. We'll, inshallah, now have the question and answers. If we could start with the sister side. Any questions from the brothers?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaykum as-salam.
Very interesting. These stories is what we learn from. Of course, just as an anecdote, I'm thinking about the great power of the great Satan and the United States and currently the biggest civilization here. Apart from that, the question was, I remember reading about Aden Samud in either it was a philosopher called Khalil Gibran.
Mm-hmm.
He's read he's an extensive and very interesting account of the city of Aden.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Rumi has written something, and has he got it from books other than Quran? Is that possible?
Yes, there is a lot about Ad and Thamud in history books, especially history books which usually start, Arabic history books start from the time of Adam and talking about his children. And in Torah, of course, there is no mention of Ad and Thamud because, I don't know for what reason. Some people say that the Adamites, which are mentioned in the Bible, is a reference to the Ad. Especially they will call Adoram. Sometimes they call Adoram, which is Adoram. They say this is a possibility. However, the Adamites lived close to Palestine. It doesn't go with the history very well to think that these were the Ad, which Quran is referring to, which was a southern Arabian civilization. But the history has a lot of the oral tradition of Arabs about Ad and Thamud, which they have compiled, especially in Arab history books. But what is important for us, of course, is the references that Quran has made to them. Although it would be very good to read those books as well to see what awe and respect these names created in the mind and heart of Arabs of that time.
Any other questions?
No, they were not Arab. The people of Noah, apparently they were Aramites, Aramaic. And depending on where we believe Adam alayhi salam descended, because there are two theories about it. One is that he descended in Hijaz, close to Mecca. And Hawa descended in Jeddah. That's why they call it Jeddah. That's the grandmother. But I think these are stories. Most probably Adam descended in an area which we call Palestine and Syria and Jordan, somewhere around that. And the children actually expanded out from that area. And Noah was living very close by. However, what happened is after the flood, the deluge, of course, Noah was taken on an ark with his people, and he did not know where is he going to descend. Wherever, of course, the ark landed, it became the land of the children of Noah, and the nation which was made of, created out of them. The Bible has it that it was in Ararat. And Ararat is a mountain in an area close to Azerbaijan. However, as we know, Nuh is buried in Najaf. And therefore, it's very improbable that the ark landed in Ararat. It should have landed somewhere close to Iraq, to Najaf. And therefore, the Aramites who were in that area were descendants of this nation which was created out of the children of Nuh. The traditions say that Adam alayhi salam was buried in Mecca. Again, this is a sort of contradiction. And when Nuh was in the ark passing by Mecca, he was ordered to take the remnants of Adam alayhi salam and to bury him in Najaf. And he was told to dig three graves, one for Adam alayhi salam, one for himself, and one for a man who will come later and would be buried beside them. And I think most of our traditions have it that what we know for certain is that Adam and Nuh are buried beside Amirul Mumin alayhi salam. And in the ziyarah we say, As-salamu alayka wa ala zawjayka Adam wa Nuh, those two who are buried with you, Adam and Nuh alayhi salam. But I don't think we can really rely on these stories very much. If Adam is buried in Najaf, and if Nuh is buried in Najaf, that means both of them were in almost the same area.
Sheikh, salamu alaykum.
Alaykum.
You mentioned about the civilization in Egypt, and you said that you cannot compare it to the civilization in Samud. Just want to know the era and the period of the civilization of Samud.
Adam Samud.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, there's so much references about Firaun, but you said, you know,
about Firaun.
Firaun,
yeah.
But the civilization you said is not comparable to that. And the second point, separate point altogether, is the, of course, you cannot compare the destruction of the idols in Kaaba because the house of Allah. But is there any reference in the Quran directly referring to Musa's stance on the destruction of the idols and all the things they used to worship in Egypt, the pyramids and all the things which were in the pyramids?
Yeah. Ad and Samud are prehistoric civilizations. Prehistoric civilizations mean that they lived prior to the invention of letters, of writing. And that is why we don't have anything written about them. About Pharaoh, because Pharaoh, the civilization there is quite new actually, and this is a post-historic civilization after the invention of writing. And therefore, we have found many inscriptions, many pillars with writings on them, and that's how we have found out about the details of the civilization there. About Ad and Samud, we don't have it. And that's why we call them prehistoric civilizations. However, they were huge. We shouldn't think that prehistoric civilizations are very, very uncivilized civilizations, or, for example, very rudimentary. As the Quran tells us, they were not. We had huge civilizations completely destroyed. And maybe they had writing, but whatever they had has completely been destroyed. Maybe one day we find something about them. We find something, some writings about, I mean, if we find, it should be buried deep, deep under the earth. Since there are prehistoric civilizations, we really don't know when they used to live. About Ad, they say Ad is the name of the father of this civilization or this nation, and they say he was Ad ibn Iram ibn Sam ibn Nuh. So he had four generations after Nuh alayhi salam. Of course, the civilization lasted for several hundred years after Ad. However, this shows a little bit when and where they are placed in history. The problem is we don't know where to place Nuh, because Nuh is also prehistoric. So we don't really know anything about that. It's very difficult, therefore. Now, about the position of Musa to idols, certainly, of course, in the Quran, when Banu Israel crossed the river or crossed the sea, وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرِ فَأَتَوْا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ يَعْكِفُونَ عَلَىٰ أَصْنَامٍ لَهُمْ. They passed by a nation which they were worshipping idols. And they asked Musa, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ اِجْعَلْ لَنَا إِلَٰهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَةً. You make for us an ilah, something that we worship like them, because we don't have anyone to worship. The mind still was Egyptian mind, because they thought that they have to see something to worship. So they said, we don't have anything to worship. اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. Put an ilah for us as they have آلهة, of different gods. قال إنكم قوم تجهلون. He said, you are an ignorant people. إن هؤلاء متبر ما هم فيه وباطل ما كانوا يعملون. What they do is باطل. What they are worshipping is just something which will be destroyed soon. So, yes, his position was quite firm. However, while he was in Egypt, as a prince, he could not say anything against it, and he did not have any mission to do that. After he came back, of course, he invited Pharaoh to worship one god, and he asked him to reject all the idols. Of course, Pharaoh rejected. Then he said, so, I don't want to fight with you or argue with you, just let me take off Banu Israel from Egypt. And that became his main mission afterwards.
Any questions from the sisters?
There is supposed to be a city called Medina Saleh, I think some miles away from Medina. And there are supposed to be Thamudic inscriptions. I haven't looked much into it myself, but do you know?
From Medina?
Yes, apparently there's about, I don't know, is it 40, 50 kilometers from there? And it's supposed to be called Medina Saleh.
It shouldn't be the same Saleh. I don't think so. Because there are cities in Syria which they say these belong to the civilization of Thamud. But it couldn't be close to Medina. I don't know if they had come that far. It was possible that they had come that far from Syria to Medina, which was north of Arabia. But no, I don't have any knowledge about it.
Any last questions?
Thank you. It might be a silly question, but I might as well ask it.
And I will give you a silly answer.
Yeah, you may, yes. I wanted to say that, so I thought you, since you have said it, okay. We see that there was a lot of advancement in those areas. They were able to carve palaces and houses to the mountains, and also produce armaments and other discoveries, inventions. And then we see, or it seems that there was an abrupt stop onto all these advancement. Then the West has taken over. So could there have been some reason why the Middle East has lagged behind?
I think, well, I don't know. I should give you a silly answer, really. This is the way human world works. تَلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. We exchange these things between people, because this is a way we try different nations. And what we can say is that what did Muslim civilization do to that power and to that glory? How did they use it? We didn't pass very nicely the test as well. So we don't have to think about names, we have to think about actions and what people did. And if we have not passed the test, then we are like any other civilization. It doesn't make a difference whether it's Muslim or Jew. This expression of the Quran is very, very telling. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. We have إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا or مُشْرِكِين generally, but إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. And of course, in the eyes of God, we are أهل الكتاب as well, isn't it? Because we have a book. They have a book, we have a book. Okay, we are أهل الكتاب. So we can be the same, we can be judged the same. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ, we can become إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. And I think we didn't perform well. We killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When I say we, I mean our nation. The Muslim nation did it. They killed the grandson of their prophet. And then they built a civilization over that crime. But this is what has happened. And so we shouldn't always think that we deserve better.
You think, Sheikh, there is some kind of this link between our behavior and advancement? If you look at it, I mean, the behavior of other nations are probably worse than...
No. Not in the continuation, yes. Because if Allah gives a ni'mah, He wouldn't take it back unless there is something wrong on our side. ذَلِكَ بَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah would never withdraw a ni'mah from a people that He has already favored on him until they change. They change what they have inside. And we know that there was a ni'mah in our civilization that Allah withdrew. And why did He withdraw it? For some reason, for something went wrong. Initially He gives it, but continuity of it would depend on how we perform and how we act.
And to this one, you said there was a ni'mah. Do you refer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
No, Prophet is different. I mean these advancements in science and these things. I mean, of course, Prophets. That's a different story then.
Alaykum, Sheikh. Thank you very much again for your lecture. Sheikh, as usual, your lecture starts us thinking in different directions and different points of view. I mean, for the moment, the greatest dilemma that's facing human beings is not the wars and the challenge of civilizations, but it's really as a result of man's behavior and the situation regarding the environment. And I think that in years to come, in a very short period of time,
destruction of the whole earth.
And these are the ni'mas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and made us His khalifa above them. So, and we have failed singularly in that duty. So what is it that we can do to actually redress that?
When it comes to civilizations or human race, individuals cannot do anything. I mean, you see that these prophets actually tried to avert the calamities, destruction, punishment, but they couldn't. I mean, they preached, they did whatever they could. They had followers. Their followers tried to do the same, but because they were in minorities, they couldn't do anything. What individuals can do is try their best. But these things need a collective will, collective decision. And collective decisions comes when collectively human race comes to their mind. And if that's not the case, then we cannot stop it. This is the history going forward the way Allah has planned it. So the only thing individually we can do is just to try our best to admonish, to organize, to tell people what they are doing is wrong, this al-amr bil ma'ruf wal nahy anil munkar. Otherwise, I don't think we can do more.
There's obviously a lot of reference in Holy Quran regarding these issues. But is there any sort of modern text that we can refer to that contextualizes the current problem with an Islamic background?
Mm. Mm. Not that I know of, but we can look for, inshallah.
I think it would be a great benefit to actually have that, and to, because, you know, in discussions with people, they are aware that Islam has this attitude of conservation of the environment, but we need to be able to articulate that in a sensible way.
Yeah, maybe because this is new, not much literature is written about it, but I'm sure the Muslims have to start writing about it, inshallah.
Sorry if I'm digressing from the topic of today, but just a thought has arisen in my mind that with all these systems in the world that have been created by human beings at large, and maturity with which things have evolved, just take three examples, say the process of election, the handling of the environment, the Copenhagen conference that's been organized, etc. Look at all the other systems that already exist, by and large, in the Western world, but the Eastern world is catching up as well. I'm just proposing that as Muslims, aren't we much better off, quite opposite to the thinking of the groups like Hizb ut-Tahrir that we want to re-establish the Khilafah or whatever, or we want a Muslim state or an Islamic state here or there. I'm saying that why not penetrate the existing systems, get into the politics of the Western world or the politics of any country as human beings, not even as Muslims. Go in, get part of the system, refine the system, where there is injustice, correct the injustices, and continue within developing those civilizations. And if I may even mention, even if you don't have to use the word Islam, but God-fearing and justice as two main criteria. What is your comment to that?
Yeah, of course I agree. I mean, that is something that's not only... We do not need faith to tell us what to do. Our reason would tell us that this is a good, if we are living in an environment. Of course, there's a difference that if we are living in a Muslim society, then the discourse, the literature, the terminology for all these would become Islamic, in essence, because we draw on Quran, on Hadith, on this. When we are living in a society which is not an Islamic society, not a Muslim society, then the way we have to speak, the way we have to express these values should be in a language that everyone would understand. It is not good just to stick a tag to everything that make Islamic non-Islam, because there are many, many common values. That's how people, different nations can communicate with each other and can argue and reason with logical demonstration, things to each other, because they have common values, common understanding. And I think this is a very good thing. Talking about Islamic Khilafah and these things in a country in which the majority are not Muslims is a childish sort of talk, certainly. I mean, it's even in a Muslim country, if the people don't want it, of course, it's again childish to talk about it. Therefore, I quite agree with you that this is the procedure that we have to follow.
Thank you, Sheikh, again. Next week is going to be Muharram, so we will not be having the tafsir class.
Yeah.
Sheikh, any idea when we'll be resuming again?
Inshallah, the first week, the first Sunday after the 10 days.
The 3rd of January?
3rd of January, yeah.
Okay, so inshallah, January. We will resume the tafsir class from the 3rd of January. Just to let you know, we will be having Muharram programs starting from Thursday. The program will start at 7:30 with Salat, followed by Dua Kumel, and then Quran. We'll then have a Marthiya, followed by a youth talk and a lecture with question and answer. The lecture will be given by Hamid Mawani on exaggeration, extremism, and fanaticism in the Muslim community. Thank you.